Good morning. Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is titled Baha'olat Cha. It covers Numbers 8:1 through 12:16. Baha'olat Cha translates to English as when you rise or elevate. The portion begins with instructions regarding the lighting of the seven-branch candelabra, this being the golden menorah that stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Aaron, the high priest, is commanded to light the menorah's bowls in such a way that its radiance was directed forward toward the people of Israel. Standing where it did between the Israelites in the holy place was the ark in which God's holy presence resided. The menorah's light symbolizes God's holiness extending toward the people and to some extent toward their future and eventually ours. Immediately following, the Torah portion continues with a passage describing the ordination of the Levites, a ritual meant to separate them from their brothers for their special responsibilities at the Mishkan, as well as serving the needs of the priests. The Levites were set apart and given to God as a substitute for sparing the firstborn sons. The Levites' purpose was to serve God and the nation. This privilege required dedication and hard work toward a common and sacred goal, God's will. Chapter 9 starts with the rules regarding Passover. This being the first holiday the Israel nation was commanded to observe. Passover represents God's chosen people emergence from 400 years of bondage by means of his awesome power, an event that we celebrate every year at our Seder, as well as retell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. We also learn that provision was made for those who had been in contact with a dead body, which made them unfit to celebrate Passover. When questioned by Moses regarding this predicament, God's response was, "Those who are unclean, also those who were traveling in a distant land and were not able to participate in the Passover, would be allowed to take part in a second Passover 1 month later." God provided a makeup day to celebrate Passover and offer their sacrifice. Concerning the outcome of those who didn't offer the sacrifice at the appointed time, they would bear their own sin. In other words, put to death. In chapter 9, there's a description of God's manifestation of his presence at the tabernacle. Not figuratively, but literally. There was a cloud during the day and a fire throughout the night. In Numbers 10, the Lord commissions Moses to have two silver trumpets hammered out as a means of summoning the community. Sometimes there was one trumpet, sometimes two. Further, the passage states, "When you are at war in your land against an aggressor who attacks you, you shall sound the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be delivered from your enemies." On a happier note, it was also stated, "On your joyous occasions, your fixed festivals and new moon days, you shall sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and your sacrifices of well-being. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I, the Lord, am your God." The chapter ends with the nation of Israel being militarily configured for their long journey and impending encounters with their adversaries on their trek to the Promised Land. Numbers 11 starts with the people complaining about their apparent hardships and that the food was better in Egypt. In spite of all that God had done thus far, there was little gratitude. After hearing the complaining and seeing men crying at the entrance of their tents, Moses also got upset because he was given leadership over such an ungrateful and difficult people. He went before God and asked to die. As a result, God relieve Moses of some of the leadership responsibilities, commanding him to bring 70 elders before the Lord, where he gave these additional leaders his spirit and wisdom to lead. The Lord also heard the people complaining about wanting meat, complaining that the manna wasn't enough. God stated he would provide meat, such an abundance that it would come out of their nostrils. There was so much meat that they became sick of eating it. Their greed came at a price. For many people, they died as a result. In Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron murmured against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married. They went further to speak of Moses' intercessor designation and his authority. God heard them and was incensed, calling them out to the tent of meeting. The Lord explains to Aaron and Miriam that if he desired additional prophets, he would do so through visions or dreams. But as for Moses, he spoke to him audibly and with complete clarity. Soon after, Miriam indeed paid the price for her gossip towards Moses. This came in the form of leprosy and was exiled outside the camp for a week. Perhaps enough time to think about her transgressions. Even after this insult, Moses prayed to the Lord to heal her. Sometimes simplicity is the essence of understanding when one is attempting to share their thoughts. Much like Moses, I'm a man of simple speech, and yet I have been blessed to give this week's parsha. In light of our circumstances in life, some having better than others, I don't think we have to dig too deep in finding a gleaning message that speaks to us personally in this parsha. The gold menorah points us to Yeshua. Just as the light of the menorah was positioned between the Jewish people and the presence of God in the most holy place, Yeshua is the light that stands between the nations of the world and the saving presence of God. His radiance gives humanity life, comfort, true knowledge, and victory over sin. Yeshua proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And when we receive Messiah's light, we become little lights. He said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The light coming from us, the truth that we know, the happiness we enjoy, is to be directed to others. Like the menorah's lights that shine towards the people of Israel. Just as the Levites were set apart and given to God to represent him and to do his work, so we are called to be ambassadors of the Lord with Messiah as our light, the Spirit as our guide, and the truth as our sustainer. Let's not be like those who only come to worship service and then hide their lights the rest of the week. Let's raise our lights by standing close to God during the week and serving him and proclaiming his reality. Let's keep our spiritual eyes on the cloud of God's presence during the day and the fire of God's presence during the night, so that at all times we are seeing him, following him, and serving him the way he calls us to. Shabbat Shalom.